Returning to passage that we read together, Acts chapter 20. And we're returning to another of the Bible windows. And we've looked at a few. We've looked at storms through the window of Noah, and salvation through the window of Rahab, and temptation through the window of Solomon, and criticism through the window of Bilhah. Last week we looked at prayer through the window of Daniel. This afternoon we're going to look at church members through the window of Eutychus. Let me begin by asking you a question. What kind of church member are you? Someone has said that many church members are like wheelbarrows. You need to pick them up and push them to get them anywhere. Or some are like canoes. They need to be paddled. I think it's an American expression, but I think you get the meaning. Some are like kites, that if you don't keep a string on them, they'll fly away. Some are like balloons, full of wind and ready to explode. Some are like kittens, only content when they are petted. Some are like trailers, in that they need to be pulled. And others like lights, in that they keep going on and off. I don't know if any of those apply to you or not, but this afternoon I want us to consider certain types of church members that we see through the window that Eutychus set upon. We find him in verse 9 of Acts chapter 20. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And as we look through this window at various types of church members, I want to draw your attention firstly to members that were in attendance. As we look through the window, we see men and women attending to the worship of God. It says in verse 7, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." We read that they came together on the first day of the week, a Sunday, as we might call it today, the Lord's Day, the day of the week upon which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we see that this is the day that the disciples came together for worship and for fellowship. The name disciples was a name that was given to those early followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks to us of one who was a learner. They came to learn of Christ. These early believers referred to themselves as disciples, learners of Christ. And we see them coming together. That's what it says. They came together. They convened with one another. They assembled in one place. We might say that it being Sunday or the Lord's Day, that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ came together. They came together with purpose. They were attending members of the church. I read a little article during the week entitled "No Excuse Sunday." And it concerns a church bulletin that was produced for a particular congregation. And the bulletin contained a message for the following Lord's Day that it was to be considered as No Excuse Sunday. The article read, to make it possible for everyone to attend church next Sunday, we are going to have a special No Excuse Sunday. Mattresses will be placed in the foyer for those who say that Sunday is my only day to sleep in. Eye ointment will be available for those whose eyes are too tired from watching television late on Saturday night. We will have steel helmets for those who have said that the roof of the church would cave in if I ever attended. Blankets will be provided for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think it's too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who think the pastor speaks too softly, and cotton wool for those who say he preaches too loud. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the name of hypocrites that are present, and relatives will be invited for those who like to go visiting on Sunday. There will be a meal afterwards for those who cannot go to church and cook dinner at the same time. And one section of the church will be decorated with flowers and plants for those who like to seek God in nature. Finally, the sanctuary will be decked with both Christmas decorations and Easter lilies for those who have never seen church without them. No Excuse Sunday. Now, when we look at these disciples in Acts chapter 20, we don't find them offering excuses. We find them coming together. We find them attending to the worship of God upon the Lord's Day. And as they come together, there are certain truths that are brought to our attention. We notice, firstly, the place where they assembled. We're told in verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together, and verse 9 tells us that they were in the third loft. Apparently, these believers were meeting on the third floor of a particular building. They weren't favored in having nice church buildings such as we have today. Oftentimes they were put out of the temple or out of the synagogues, and they met in one another's homes. In this case, it would appear that they've gathered in a room on the third floor of this particular building, and they're using this as a building in which they convened and assembled to worship the Lord. It was their church building. Now, of course, the church is not the walls or the roof or the floor or the bricks and the timber. It's the body of believers that meet within it. And so we can say that the church met in the third floor of that building. So upon the Lord's Day, they are found at church. Now, Hebrews 10 and verse 25 reminds us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It ought to be the habit and the custom of the Lord's people to meet in such a fashion as this. And where we see the attendance of some beginning to wane or to drop off, we are to encourage them. Especially, as Paul said, the more as ye see the day approaching. There is to be a day of falling away. There is to be days of darkness and declension in this world. And as we see the day coming, we are to encourage one another. The verse would seem to indicate that there had been some whose church attendance had become increasingly rare. And Paul says that they should not forsake the assembling of themselves together. We are not to miss church. To do so is to be disobedient to the Lord's command. It ought to be our regular habit to be at the house of God when his people meet upon the Lord's Day. So we see where they met. Let me show you then why they met. They met for a purpose. We see them gathered in that third loft. We're told that they came together to break bread. And Paul preached unto them. The breaking of bread refers to what we might call the Lord's Supper, that time where we commemorate and celebrate the Lord's death for our salvation, his rising again for our justification. They have assembled for the purpose of remembrance and reverence unto the Lord. They're coming to contemplate all that the Lord has done for them and celebrate that new life that is theirs in the Lord Jesus Christ. We often look at church in terms of what we get out of it. And I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard someone say, "I didn't get anything out of the service today." Now, while it is true we come to church to get something out of it, there is a far greater purpose for which we come, and that is to give something to it. Coming to church is about more than getting something from the Lord. It's about us giving something to the Lord. We come to church with the purpose of giving the Lord worship and praise and thanksgiving and prayer, these things that he so rightfully deserves. I think of when David was making preparation for the building of the temple, and he said to the people in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 20, David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshipped the Lord and the King. Instead of asking God to bless them, they blessed God. Now, obviously, we cannot add anything to who God is or to what he has, but when we come to praise him and worship him and bless him, we are acknowledging all that the Lord has done for us and giving him that due thanks. When we come to church on Sunday, remember that we have already enjoyed 6 days of God's blessing, and that we in turn must return to him with praise and thanksgiving. We come to honor him for his faithfulness and his goodness and his mercy and his grace. We come together to honor the Lord. It's not always about getting something from church. It's about giving something back. They came to honor the Lord, and they came to hear the word. They came together, verse 7 tells us, and Paul preached unto them. They gathered that they might hear God's man preach the word of God unto them. And we should never forget that. One of the supreme purposes for the church to come together is to worship God and to hear from God through his word. Now, as a preacher, I love to point out the length of Paul's sermon. Verse 7 tells us that Paul continued his speech until midnight. I wonder, were they looking at their watches to see was it close to the hour? You know, many commentators believe that Paul had been preaching or speaking to them for perhaps 6 hours by this stage. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit used in verse 7 the word continued. It says, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Why do I like the word continued? It means to stretch, or to extend, or to prolong. Here's biblical authority for long sermons. Do I have an amen? No, not today. We'll keep it short. Well, Paul continued his speech until midnight. Now, it ought not to be the case, as someone has said, in his definition of poor preaching, as being the expressing of a two-minute idea with one-hour vocabulary. We don't want to be stretching out a thought just to prolong it. And I'm sure as Paul preached, that he had something worthy to be said and something worthy to be heard. I hope it's the case. But you might say sometimes after the preaching of the Word of God, I enjoyed that. I wish there was more. I could have listened to that for long. The Apostle James said, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." And that little expression means that we ought to be availing ourselves of every opportunity to hear the preaching of God's word. It's one of the reasons that we need to attend the house of God, to sit under the preached gospel, to have someone read the scriptures and expound it to us and to tell us, this is what the Bible says, this is what God says. And some sermons may be long and some may be short, but the issue is not the length of the sermon, but the content of the sermon. And we need to hear what the Lord would say. If it ever gets to the point where you come simply to be entertained with humorous stories or with little anecdotes or stories about my week, then I suggest you go elsewhere and find someone who will take the word of God and read it and declare it unto you and say, this is what the Lord says. We need to be instructed from the word of God. And they assembled with one another to break bread, to honor God, and to hear Paul preach. We see church members in attendance. Now I want to draw your attention to another church member, an apathetic one. A man by the name of Eutychus, whom we find in verse 9, of whom we're told that there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, I suppose there are many things we could say about Eutychus, but the first question that comes to mind is this: why was he sleeping? Why was he sleeping? We're told that he was sunk down with sleep. He was overcome with tiredness. Paul had been preaching for such a long time, and his eyelids were growing heavier by the moment. I suppose if someone could fall asleep when the Apostle Paul preached, it shouldn't make me feel so bad when I see the yawns being stifled as I preach. But this young man went soundly to sleep. Why did he go to sleep in church? Well, in defense of Eutychus, his name would suggest to us that he was a servant or a slave. Perhaps he had worked all day out in the open air in the fields and now was tired from his labors. And the environment didn't help the situation. Verse 8 says, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. We're thinking of oil lamps. And of course, as the flame would burn, it needs oxygen to keep the flame alive, and it's burning up the oxygen in the room. And the room was hot and stuffy, and the atmosphere was growing heavier by the moment. And the eastern windows are generally small and not good for ventilation, and perhaps there's a shortage of fresh air in the room. And after a long, hard day of work, sitting down in a warm, stuffy, poorly ventilated room, we can perhaps sympathize with Eutychus. And so while we may commend him for his presence, it may be the case that he wasn't really that interested in what was going on in the surface. And he allowed tiredness to win over rather than the preaching of God's word. Because I don't think it's a case of the Apostle Paul being a boring preacher. I think Eutychus is more likely to have been disinterested in what was being said. The Bible has much to say about sleeping Christians. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And the idea of spiritual sleeping is of not being alert or not being engaged with the things that are going on around us. There are many Christians that are sleeping. They're present, no doubt, but spiritually asleep. They're not involved. They give little of time and effort. And so while their attendance is to be commended, that's all that they do. They only attend. They never engage. They're never involved. So we find this young man starting to go asleep in that window in the third loft. And of course, the very place where he goes to sleep is extremely suggestive to us. He's sitting in a window. Now, if you're going to go to sleep in church, that's not the place to do it. Especially a window on the third floor. And it tells us that having fallen asleep in that window, that he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, I suggest to you that he fell outwards. And I say that because if he fell inwards, he wouldn't have fallen from the third loft. He would have fallen down onto the floor at his feet. No more than one story. But he has fallen down the three, so he has fallen outwards. We might say concerning Eutychus, he fell out of church. We've known many that have fallen out of church. Their spiritual sleep concerning the things of God eventually leads them to falling out of church. There has been a lack of interest in spiritual things, and that's followed with the great danger of actually falling out of church itself. So why did Eutychus fall out rather than in? Well, it's a simple matter of physics and gravity. He was leaning more to the outside than he was to the inside. Perhaps he was more interested in what was happening outside the window than what was happening inside the room. And having fallen asleep in that precarious position, leaning more out than in, it was only natural that he would fall out of church. Now, no one just opts and decides that they're going to get out of church. It's not a decision that you wake up one morning and say, "I'm not going back." It begins with a spiritual sleep, a lack of interest in the things of God, a growing concern with the things that are happening outside more than the things that are occurring inside. And like Eutychus, we all know people that were once in the church, but have somewhere or somehow fallen out of it. They've allowed a job or a vocation or some activity to capture their heart to the point where they have no time for God. And they've allowed the things of the world to encroach upon them and take their attention, and they're leaning more out than they are in. And before they know it, they've grown cold and sleepy in the things of God, and they have fallen out of church. So we see attending members, and we see an apathetic member who doesn't seem to care about what's happening. But I want you to notice thirdly and finally some awakened members. Now, I've had many strange things happen in church. I've bore witness to. I've had some that have fallen asleep, yes. And I've some that have fainted. I remember one Sunday afternoon in Lock when I was preaching there, when Tanya being heavily pregnant and the weather being hot, I was looking down and seeing the whites of her eyes, and I knew what was happening, and she just toppled over in the pew where she was sitting. I've had others taken out on a stretcher and into an ambulance and off to hospital. I haven't had anyone fall out of a window yet. But I tell you what happens when something like this occurs. We see a change in the mood of the meeting. Things can't just continue on from where we left off. Everything has changed. And verse 10 tells us that after Eutychus had fallen out of the window, that Paul went down. And I'm sure that every member was right behind him. And Dr. Luke, who has written the book of Acts for us, was there and gives us his account that the young man was taken up dead. Make no mistake about it, the Lord has used the physician Luke to write the book of Acts and to give us this account so that we might know that a miracle is taking place. Eutychus is dead. And then we read that Paul fell on him and embraced him. He reached out to him and something wonderful happened. He was restored back to life. And when someone falls out of church, we are to reach out to them and seek them and seek to restore them in the things of God. That's what Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All too often it seems that we forget about those that have fallen out of church. And we leave them lying where they fall with no effort to restore them back into the fellowship again. But there ought to be a work of restoration. Someone said that the Christian army is the only one that buries its wounded. There was an attempt to restore this young man. And indeed by verse 11, we're told, when he therefore was come up again. The attempt to revive and restore this young man who had fallen out of church was successful. He was brought back in again. And he was in the place where bread was broken once more. There is a work of restoration and a work of consolation. Notice what it says at the end of verse 12. That they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. You see, not only was there a restoration of some members, but there was a reviving of others. And you can be sure when Eutychus came back into the service, that he didn't go back to sleep again. You can be sure that he was wide awake. And furthermore, you can be sure that others around him had taken note of what had happened. And they themselves were revived. They were not a little comforted. The word comforted means invited. And it carries the idea of being drawn nearer. So not only was Eutychus restored, but everyone else is wide awake as well. What has happened has had an effect upon the whole community. In fact, they're so revived that the Apostle Paul continued preaching and talked a long while, even till the break of day. And we don't read of any others falling asleep. So you preached until midnight, a long time, until Eutychus fell out the window. But when he was restored and the people revived, that he continued preaching right till the break of day. They're not worried about whether they're going to get out at 12 o'clock noon. When our hearts are truly right with the Lord, it will not concern us if the preacher goes on 5 or 10 minutes longer than usual. Because our hearts are fixed upon the Lord. And in this day when people are so time conscious, and lives of busyness and activity, and we have so much to do and so little time to do it, we need to be focused upon the Lord, upon His day. We need it to be a time of restoration and revival. We don't merely want to be in attendance at the house of God, and we certainly don't want to be sleeping in the house of God. We want to be a people who are awakened in the house of God, restored and revived. And I can assure you that when the people left the meeting that day and went to their workplace and went to their homes and out into the community, what do you think they talked about? The things that they heard and seen in the Lord's house. What do you think they talked about? Eutychus being restored to life. And when the Lord works in grace and mercy amongst us and restores those who have fallen, lifts up and awakens the sleeping, revives the children of God, there will be a completely new conversation found in the lips of God's people. And it will be upon what the Lord has done and what His servant has said. Oh, may we be found in attendance at the house of God, not sleeping, not leaning into the windows and looking out to the world and thinking, I wish I was there rather than in here. May the Lord revive our hearts. May He restore us in His grace. And may we go forth from this place excited about telling others what the Lord has done and what He has said. And may we see the blessing of God upon our fellowship. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank Thee again for this Bible window that we have had time and opportunity to consider. And as is so often the case, Thy word has been a mirror to our soul, reflecting back to us just exactly what it sees. Lord, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see just truly who and what we are in the sight of God. Are we merely in attendance at the house of God each week? Or do we gather to honor the Lord and to hear His word? Are we sitting sleepily in the service, not really paying attention, growing colder in the things of God? Oh, that we might know that restoring power of Thy Holy Spirit, the One who has given us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that that new life might be as that spring of water within us, springing up, that we might be revived and refreshed each and every day in the things of the gospel. And oh, that we would live to tell others of what the Lord has done for us, what we have seen and heard and know of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be used of God in the building of the church, the drawing in of the lost, of the exhorting and of the helping and the encouraging of one another. We pray, our Father, that Thou would yet speak to us through Thy Holy Spirit, that though the voice of the preacher grows silent, that Thou would continue to speak on and draw us after Thyself. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.